Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We don't have time. We really, Daisy, I'm very sorry, but we've had a week off. Our listeners are listening in and they want us to crack on. They want us to crack on. Judith, it was a change, wasn't it? A change last week, because normally it's you goes away and I'm left at home. But last week, Daisy and I were on our holidays.
Both of you were off. Both of
and you.
And you
were stuck at home. It was great.
I was stuck at home in the rain.
Yeah. It made my holiday even greater.
Did it? Yeah. When I said that I would put the fire on.
Yeah, that when I got that text, I sort of rolled around in glee for a little bit. I had a really, and I know Daisy's had a nice time up in the far-flung nether regions of the Scottish Isles. Iona and all that. I actually knew a little girl called Iona. It's a lovely name,
isn't it?
It's
a pretty name. It is a pretty name. We haven't had time to ask Daisy whether the weather was good, but there seemed to be some nice little pictures there of nice beaches.
I think there was mixed weather. There was mixed weather in France.
Oh, go on then, rub it in.
I didn't mention it. I didn't mention it before we went, just in case I couldn't go, because I was these days, I always think something awful's going to happen before I go on holiday that means I can't go, you know.
I don't know, Jenny. You're worse than me. Yeah.
I can be quite doomy sometimes. I don't think I deserve a treat. And this was a treat because it was friends. You know, like, if I ever come back again, Judith, before I make friends,
right,
I'm going to check whether they've got a spare ski chalet or a gîte somewhere.
Oh, sort of, yes, a kind of informal interview.
Yeah, I think actually we, you know, some friends, I mean, some friends are great just because they're great people. But is it enough?
You'd want a span, wouldn't you? It'd be no good having a cluster of friends that all had a house, you know, in the Alps. You want
spread. No, I mean, what a terrible choice that would be. We want one. I do quite like a short haul flight as well. So
Yes, you want one for a city break. Now, friends, you may have to close your ears here, but this is a very unfriendly thing to say.
You're a terrible person.
But you want friends. Yeah, I know I am. You're talking about a short haul flight. Now, I was thinking, yes, you want one for a city break, you want one ski lodge, da, da, da. Yeah. But the problem is they'd be there, wouldn't they? So you want to be careful, because as much as you like your friends, you don't necessarily
I'd have to have a floor plan. I'd have to have a floor plan before I kind of made the friendship official.
Okay,
there's a ski chalet, is there? But I don't want to ski. I just want to look out of a window. And I don't want to share the window. So I'd need my own sitting room, Kai. I'd need my own quarters. So this friends, right? Mutual friends. In fact, it's...
Mutual
it's
friends? What do you mean? Do I know them?
No. Oh, God, no.
Oh, don't say it like that.
No, they're Brixton. They're Brixton people. But the fella is from the north. So he's from my neck of the woods.
Right.
And she's actually a lot more exotic. And it's her side of the family that have... She's got this massive family. And they have this place in rural France in the Dordogne.
The Dordogne. It's a good word, isn't
it? I don't really know that. I'm useless at France, Judith. I've not had great experiences before in France, particularly.
Right.
Not really, no. And I had a great experience in the Dordogne.
Yes.
It was ideal because, and this sounds awful, I mean, but there were sort of two houses. There were two bits of the property with separate entrances and exits.
Really?
So, you know, we were on one half with our own little kitchen and bathroom. And then they were in the other half with, you know, sort of... a bigger kitchen space and much more living quarters and all that.
Well, that's only fair, isn't it?
You know, when we arrived, I thought, well, which half will we have? I thought, No, and there was a, honestly, you'd have loved the swimming pool. When I saw the swimming pool, I thought, well, that's got Judith's name all over it. It really has.
Was it lit up at night?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But we turned the lights off because when we turned the lights off on the pool, I put a photograph up on my social medias of the stars out at night, Judith. I did a jokey thing on the Twitter. I said, is it the stars or is it dandruff on a black sofa? you know, tell the difference.
Oh, I'm loving the sound of that.
Inky dark sky. And you know what? Everyone talks shit about the stars, don't they?
Nobody understands them. Nobody knows which is which. You just make it up, don't you? Yeah. There's the plough.
There's Orion's belt. It's all bollocks.
It's all bollocks. Nobody can see it. And then, I don't know about you. I have to pretend I can see it.
Of course. But actually, for the first time in a very long time, because there was no pollution, I could actually see stars in the night sky.
Very exciting. Were you in the pool at the time? I hope you were.
Not at the midnight. Not when I'd been drinking. I don't think you should go in the pool when you've been drinking.
I am disappointed.
I barely got in the pool because I was mostly drinking. No, I did. I did go in the pool quite a lot. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. I ate a great deal of cheese.
Did you? Favourite? Come on. Describe.
Oh, just those creamy sort of, you know.
The creamy ones.
Yeah, the creamies. I don't like
the
glue.
Goats, just
a bog standard, you know, cow cheese. I didn't really look. I mean, there were just cheeses out and, you know, and I quite like a waxy one as well, quite a waxy cheese. You know, earwaxy cheese, I like those. And
were you crackers or frit or baguettes? Avec?
Both. I think you'll find both.
They don't do chutney, do they? That's the only thing about France, I've got to say. They don't really... I can't recall a bit of French chutney.
I don't think they're chutney people, Judith. No, what they are, however, is they are great celeriac remoulade people.
I know they are. I saw your photo and the thing that caught my eye about it is it said maxi format. Yeah. How big was it? Yeah. Couldn't really see how big was it.
I didn't put that on the social medias. I just sent that to you because I just thought, well, she'll dribble over this one. It's a niche photograph. It was just a big tub of alternative coleslaw, basically.
If somebody had seen it, they thought, what?
Yeah.
How big was
made
it?
I'd say it was enough for 8 small portions, 6 decent sized.
Probably 4 in my size portions. Size of a dinner plate or smaller. Couldn't really see from the photo.
Well, you can't just eat an entire dinner plate of celeriac remoulade.
Well, I'd give it a good go, but you know, with enough pork pie, but yes, okay.
It was large. An alternative to the bog standard coleslaw, it is a refreshing change, do you not think?
Not only a refreshing change, I could jump ship, Jenny.
Oh my
If I was living in France, and it might be a good reason to move to France. I might jump ship because
you can't live there full time, you know, because the fucking Brexit. You can only go there for so many days.
We could have done before, couldn't we?
We could have stayed there all the time. You and I could have moved out there and just eaten our own body weight in cheese and celeriac remoulade. And when I got back, we only went for 4 nights. Ideal, you know, because I thought I'm sure we were wearing thin on them by the, you know.
How often did you meet up? Of an evening?
A lot, yeah. They took us to medieval. It's one of those bits of rural Dordogne.
I'm just preparing.
Don't worry. I'm not going to stray too far from food, Judith.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to say there was medieval village. I said the word medieval, and that was
what alerted me.
Yeah. Okay, so but they had these things, these night markets with food stalls, Judith.
Night markets.
Marché nocturne.
I've never heard of a night market. What do you mean?
They're big in rural Dordogne. In the medieval villages. They have them around all these villages. Anyway, I'm not going to say the word medieval again because I know I'm on thin ice.
You're on very thin ice, but we're still in the market.
But it's night time. Alcohol is involved. God. We're not driving.
And there's all these stalls, right?
And some of them are very French. There's big mussel stores and there's paella. And I know that's not French, but it's Spanish, but it's all exotic. But, you know, I was very drawn to the gammon and chips. I had gammon and chips, and Jeff had a hot dog and chips.
So when you say there were night markets, it sounds like there were night restaurants, or where, or could you buy a basket at the same time?
No, there wasn't. I know what that is, your fantasy, Judith. You're probably stroking your breasts while you're imagining this.
The idea of a night market with lovely, gorgeous food.
With lovely, gorgeous food and bric-a-brac.
And bric-a-brac and a basket stall or two that you could browse. Maybe some linen tops as well. So maybe some.
We'll just have a moment for everybody listening to touch their breasts. Touch your breasts. Okay, hands off your breasts now. It wasn't, but what they have in these villages beginning with M, right? They have communal tables. So there's all they have under a cloister thing in the town square.
Oh, nice! So it's like bench eating.
Yes, lovely. Only a little girl with chicken pox sat right next to Jeff.
Oh no!
I know. I had to have a word with the mum. I said, "Listen, can you pop her on the other side?"
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't want that. I don't want to be worrying about that.
Yeah.
They sound lovely. Do they have? I'm picturing sort of flame lighting, sulphur lighting at the same time.
No, more fairy lights, Judith. More fairy lights and coloured bulbs and a band, sort of like a wedding band playing old 70s numbers really well.
With an accordion or not?
But you know what? That would have been nice because I do like an accordion.
Well, I really do. When in France.
But no, it was not like that. There was no, and there wasn't anybody with onions around his neck either, on an old bicycle. But there was a 70s, oldish men in their 60s wearing a lot of denim, doing a lot of hits from the 70s.
God, it's got my name all over it. This place has it really has.
Oh, you'd have been up and dancing, and I'd have had to leave. Yeah, you'd have been up and dancing with the children, and I'd have had to go. Oh,
with
God,
the children.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, it was on those. You know, with about 9 o'clock at night, where all the 4-year-olds start skipping around. Yeah.
You don't want to stay any later than that, do you? No, absolutely.
Absolutely not. And when I got back, Judith, I thought I'd recreate the Dordogne experience, eating-wise, and I had the family over, 12 of us, you know, plus Arlo, so that's 13, and I recreated the celeriac remoulade.
Oh, did you now? You found a large enough celeriac, what do you call them?
A celeriac, celeriac. A nice, a very ugly, knobbly, probably one of the only vegetables I've never wanted to paint.
Oh, yes, dull. If you were set that... It's dull. Set that in an art class. I'm sorry.
If I got that in an art class, I think I'd throw it out of the window. it's not a picturesque vegetable. But the next day, I woke up and I thought, fucking hell. I felt like I'd canoed down the river, down the Dordogne. I really felt like I'd taken a canoe out. My shoulder, I had celeriac remoulade shoulder. From grating the celeriac.
Oh, yeah. They're hard work, celeriac. Because first of all, you've got to get all the knobbles up, haven't you?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's before you even get the bleeding grater out.
No, I've never had one of those attachments.
You know,
if you were to make celeriac remoulade for 12, would you use a gizmo?
I would, but what would happen in my experience, I've never really mastered it, I should have read the manual years ago, is that it ends up being... you know, you get slivers sideways and they all jam and everything. You know, the jam in the bottom. Yeah. They don't really work, those things.
It needs a finer grate than that.
Yes, it does.
Because a proper celeriac remoulade is quite fine.
Yes. Oh, yes, we know our celeriac remoulade. How lovely. Yes, I'm not surprised that gave you a shot. For a minute there, I thought you actually had been canoeing down the Dordogne, because I assume you did. Surely you did.
No, we didn't. And we had lunch. We had lunch by the Dordogne. I had a little lunch. I had a sharing platter. And it was, you know, all the French things, the cheeses and the pâtés and the, you know, all the things that you don't ask too much about, you know, the pâtés, you don't look into them carefully.
You just
show willing and then sort of feel quite guilty about it, but move along.
I love the Dordogne and I love swimming in the Dordogne and I like going in a canoe on the Dordogne as long as somebody else is steering. I cannot steer myself.
That's because it's back to front and inside out, isn't it?
Oh, I can't do it. I end up going backwards down the wobbly bits, which I have done. And I have actually used the phrase au secours.
Judith, yes, I speak no French whatsoever. What does that mean?
Oh, you know what au secours means?
No, I don't.
Help means help. Goodness sake. What are you doing? I'm rather good at French, although I say it myself. I have rather good French.
Let me catch up with you, Judith. I've told you about my holiday.
Yes, yeah, very envious.
I need to know what you've been up to.
Well, I haven't been doing a lot, really. I've been, been keeping the older and wider fires burning, manning mission control. I haven't actually, have I? Because I've been locked out of the bleeding emails.
Yeah, we've got to help you back on the older and wider email, because for some reason you've managed to get yourself locked out of the older and wider email. But I've been forwarding some to you. We had a very lovely reaction to your Guardian article.
I know. It was a lovely piece. And you know those things that you do. I mean, a lovely journalist, actually. Really enjoyed talking to her. But you never really know, do you?
I mean, the thing is, when you meet journalists, you instantly forget all those warnings you've ever had about journalists.
Well,
aren't they really nice?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when they go, you suddenly have this cold, sick feeling where you think, oh, God, what if I've been completely suckered in by this really nice person? And, she's going to absolutely do a hatchet job. There was no hatchet about the article
whatsoever. No hatchet
whatsoever.
At all.
I could see the band round your face, though.
Yes, I thought I'd really got away with that without. But when she said, I could see it, I did zoom in.
Yeah.
You're right. I had this very, very severe almost jawline, didn't I? And then it messed up my hair really badly. I could have done with looking at the photos before. Not that it was my decision which one to use. God, if that was the best one, that doesn't say very much about the others. But I know what you mean. If you know what you're looking for, you can.
I mean, everyone needs to go back to that photograph and zoom in and spot the elastic band. There should be two photos. You know those spot the difference in comics when you were little. Can you spot the difference?
I used to love those. I loved those.
I used to get bored halfway through.
Oh, show off.
I did. If I couldn't find, they said 12 things, 12 differences. Yeah, if I got to eight and couldn't find the other thing, I was fucking stupid.
I could usually find them all. I loved it because I could do it. but yes, it was a nice article. And I think I was pleased that she sort of, I was pleased that she kind of, she gave obviously the podcast a big plug and the fact that how it came about and our friendship, which was lovely. And also the sort of sense and the conclusion that I
were ever in your shell. There was a line saying I came out of my shell. Did that come out of your mouth?
No, I don't think it did, actually.
Because I don't think you have ever been a sort of tortoise woman.
No, but I've always been, I think I've always had to hold back and I've never had the confidence that I wanted.
When I first met you, you were terrifying.
But terrifying in a different way, wasn't it?
Not terrifying. I just thought, oh God, here's a woman who really fucking knows what she's doing.
I know, you see, didn't they? No, I give out all those signals.
That was your biggest con trick. That was your biggest con trick, Judith.
I just thought this woman knows what she's doing.
Yeah. This woman can steer me through. If there was a fire, she'd get me out.
Yeah, wouldn't.
And I know now you'd just be a big panicking ninny, and you'd block my exit. You'd block my exit.
Anyway. Yes, I think we all know, but I think the point I was making, not that it's that interesting, is that I think if you're a producer, more than if you're talent like you, if you're a producer, you are stuck in the middle, really, between the talent and the channel and the talent's representative. And you're sort of trying to keep everybody happy, and that kind of wore me out. Anyway.
And I also think you were doing it at a time, at a very sort of... intense time for television. I think it's less intense now because I think there's such less money around and people don't watch those big programmes anymore, do they?
No, I mean, watch dramas like we all do, and they don't watch any of those things very much at all that's actually on the telly. But also, I think I was doing that job at a time when celebrities weren't still allowed to be nightmares. I mean, they were.
Absolutely. I mean, I just don't think anybody gets away with that kind of shit anymore.
I don't think they do, and I think that's all to the good, really.
Yeah, Well, I don't. I still think it'd be really nice to occasionally just throw massive strops and get what I want. Do you mean, I don't really, but I did a telly thing actually this week. It'll come out on Sunday. You get loads of mentions. God. In fact, one of the questions was, who's been a big influence in your life? And I panicked and I said, you. I wanted a plug for the podcast, Judith. It was
all set up. You steered. You thought, this is my opportunity to steer, didn't you?
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Yes, back in the net.
There was a photo lined up and everything. So, yes, in the old, you know, in the old days, those sort of big, big stars used to make ridiculous demands in dressing rooms, and they'd have to have this and that.
Oh,
and they'd have to
God.
Have their dressing rooms redecorated, and they'd have to have
yep.
three new kittens.
Yeah, a new toilet built in some cases, and...
And they still
oh,
wouldn't,
God, yes.
they still wouldn't shit in it. They'd still shit on the floor, because they were because they were celebrities. They were allowed to do what they want.
It's
build
it.
Me a new toilet. I'm still going to shit on the floor.
It's, I better not go there because, oh my good, maybe, God, maybe one day I will write the book, you know, of all the monsters that I had to deal with.
Am I in there? Am I in there?
Well, I think you were quite, you weren't that easy when I first met
you. I came close, I came close. So when I did this telly thing the other day, and they put all stuff in my dressing room, you know, all things that, in the old days, I just used to leave because I had loads of money and I didn't really need anything. I cleared every single thing. The only thing I left was a tangerine in the fruit bowl.
Do you know what? Just while we're on that subject... I won't go into it because it's a bit boring. But anyway, I went to see a specialist this week on about my gastro.
That's not boring.
Well, it is a bit. But anyway, I spent quite a lot of money because I thought, well, the doctor, it's going to take months and months for me to get an allocation to see a specialist. And I've got, you know, I have got this gastro, what's it called again? Acid reflux thing.
You've got a hiatus hernia.
That's right, hiatus. You're well remembered. A sliding one, whatever the fuck that means. And I've got the cough back and all that. So anyway, I paid for this thing. It was a bloody fortune. £300. Of course, I wasn't insured. Neither of us are insured.
No, neither of us have insured. We don't have proper jobs.
No, we don't. We've never had a proper job. So, you know, they always say, oh, who are you insured with? No, privately funding.
Yeah.
And I got to the waiting room. You know what I did? They had all these rather nice tea bags that were wrapped up. A bit like you in the dressing room. I found myself stealing, you know, that of about 3 Earl Grey and some peppermint. I mean, like that was going
to
make...
Just to get your money's worth. To be quite honest, you know, to get your money's worth, to get 300 quid's worth of freebies, you'd have had to take all the toilet paper. You know, they in the posh ones, in the posh specialists, sometimes they have a coffee machine. You'd have had to take a bin liner in. It's just, you know, all the magazines, all those, you know, all the Vogues and all the Tatlers, just, you know, just a massive suitcase. I'm just going to take this. Oh, God.
Oh, stop
honestly.
It.
What did the specialist say? Did they tell you what to eat and what not to eat?
Oh, God, I've got to go and see a dietitian. But basically, it's not rocket science. I mean, she didn't miss a word. She basically said, I've got to lose a stone.
You haven't got a stone to lose from anywhere.
I have got a stone to lose. Because apparently one of the main reasons I've got it, it's like being pregnant. You know when you're pregnant and you get heartburn? I've got such a big tummy. That's what it is.
You have. Not compared to me, you haven't.
Oh,
you've got less.
Well,
the thing about, I think people underestimate how actually slim you are. It's just because you've got a big bosom.
Yeah, I know. So I don't think even losing a stone is going to shift much off there. But anyway, so yes, it is quite boring. But I mean, I've got to do it. I've got to lose weight. I've got to stop eating fatty things. There's a whole list. And I've got to see a dietitian. But the really miserable thing is I probably am going to have to stop drinking wine. I don't know what I'm going to move on to. I think I'm going to have to find some hard drugs or some soft drugs rather somewhere.
Well, vodka. Vodka is sort of an alternative.
Possibly. I've got to see the dietitian before I start to talk.
I don't think... The word dietitian to me sounds quite old fashioned. Don't they mean a nutritionist?
Oh, I don't know, really. It's probably the same thing, isn't it? But I've also got to stop eating 3 hours before I go to bed, and I can't have any mint tea. You know, all
that's
my little
odd
routines.
Because I thought mint tea was the best thing for digestion.
So did I. Au contraire.
Oh, so those three mint tea bags that you stole from the waiting room, they're a bit redundant.
Yes, presented it before I went in, yes. I didn't put them back, though. I thought they'd come in handy anyway. So, yeah, that's all a bit depressing. But anyway, I've got to do that, otherwise...
So what time are you having your tea now?
Oh, God, I mean, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30.
Oh, you see, I'm an 8:30. Jeff and I eat at 8:30.
Well,
finish at 9 o'clock, drink heavily for an hour, then go to bed.
We're incompatible now, Jenny. We're on different timelines.
I don't know. When you come to my house, I don't know what you're going to have to have beans on toast at the kitchen table. 6 o'clock. It's high tea, isn't it? You're not having dinner with us. You're not having dinner with the grown-ups.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know this is boring, but we don't talk that much about the grandchildren. But Arlo's eating was such a nightmare. Since Arlo's had his tongue tie snip at 11 months, the change in his eating, and I nearly cry every time he eats. He had fish fingers yesterday. And I was overwhelmed with relief.
I bet
and
you were. It's normality, isn't it?
Yeah, just, you know, he's absolutely still not a great eater, and he won't feed himself. He's incredibly lazy. I mean, he's just like some small emperor being fed fish fingers. And you know, I got those the mistaken cauliflower hash browns that came by accident my Sainsbury's delivery.
Yes, yes.
Well, they went down a treat as
I thought they would. I thought the cauliflower hash browns would go down. You'll be ordering those again, Jenny.
Yeah, I tell you. And they got me hooked.
They did.
And now Arlo's hooked. They've got the whole family hooked
on
the cauliflower heroin. How are your lads?
Oh,
We had them
yesterday, and it was a beautiful day actually here. It really was. And you know, they spent a good hour and a half wandering round the garden and then the house with nothing on, completely stark because it was so warm.
Lovely.
And you know, it was so funny to see them both, you know, because they lean forward, you know, when they're walking around and kind of, you know, up.
Have they given up on crawling now?
Totally given up now. And it round the garden they went, looking at the flowers, and then it must have been lovely, like a couple of kind of naturists.
And, well, we met up because I had Arlo here, but Phoebe was working upstairs. She's got some jobs on now, but she took time off in the afternoon. Met a friend with her new baby, and there's this park. This play park opposite the Horniman Museum. I love the Horniman Museum. It was too nice to go in yesterday. You've got to save that for a rainy day.
Oh, yes.
The Horniman is a great museum. But I have to say, and the cafe is great and the food is super and they're really, really nice. But it's £4 for a flapjack now.
£4 for a flapjack?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Isn't it?
You should be making your own flapjacks, I think.
Well, I know. And then there's a sign saying, please don't eat your own food at the cafe tables. I thought, well, you'll be lucky. But anyway, there's this park opposite and it's like a massive sand pit. It's really, I don't know how it works, really. I don't know whether they cover it when it's raining or whatever. But it's like thick golden sand. This massive stretch of...
At Arlo's age.
Well, this is exactly what happened. I thought, well, he's not had much sand experience. Plonked him down and the first thing he did was put a great big handful in his mouth.
God.
I know.
That's the trouble, isn't it? But so you only did half a day, really. What you're saying is...
No, I didn't do half a day, Judith. I did not do half a day. They came in the morning and I got rid of... say that. And he was picked up at 6 o'clock by his father because Phoebe had gone to the theatre. She's more or less got him off the boob now. And I mean, literally, she just skips out the house. She doesn't look back. She does not look back.
But that must be so fantastic for Phoebe to have her independence back. It I'm really pleased.
Yeah,
really,
yeah. They had the really vomiting bug. They had a vomiting bug, all three of them. Fortunately, when we just missed it, it was just before we went to France. And I saw on Phoebe's Twitter, she said that her partner was throwing up so much, she thought he was running a bath. That's how bad it was. Oh, can you imagine?
I can. Well, yeah, we just missed that,
thank God. Because imagine if we'd gone to France, I wouldn't have been able to eat all the cheese and all the...
You'd have been unpopular house guests, I have to say.
Now, you had a sociable event.
Yes, we went up to York. And I haven't been up to Yorkshire for absolutely ages. And it was lovely. And it made me think, oh, God, you know, I remembered really how clean the north is and... tidy. It's lovely, Yorkshire.
Was the weather good?
The weather was quite good. Weather was good. Went to a wedding, which was very, very lovely. And however, lots of standing up involved. Weddings are like. I'm almost at the stage now where I should really...
Was this mingling? Chair. Mingling standing?
Was lots of mingling on gravel. Mingling on gravel with a pair of shoes that, you know, little, tiny heels, but heels nonetheless. Yeah. Mind you, I went back to the car after the ceremony and I put my trainers on. Yeah. I thought that was very, very liberating, actually. Yeah.
I don't have a pair of heels anymore. I genuinely
do
don't.
Do not?
No.
I mean, the thing is, they do look quite good, don't they? I mean, they were high, but they do look so much better with a dress.
Well, that look is gone for me. It's just gone.
Yes, you don't really wear. I'm just trying to think.
I don't. I've got a pair of white. My posh shoes are a pair of white lace-up brogues from Grenson.
Oh yes, I've seen those. Yeah. I've been allowed to see you in those.
Yes.
But anyway, yes, heels are. Fucking nightmare, especially at weddings.
You wore a polka dot.
I wore a polka dot, yes, and that all worked out quite well. It was a lovely ceremony. However, I've got to be honest, and that the groom's family, who were very, very lovely, all medics. I mean, obviously, she'd married. Oh,
Judith, you must have been in your element.
Yeah, well, it was quite...
I'm surprised you didn't cancel your appointment with the specialist. I mean, you've got a family of medics on standby that you could back into a corner on gravel and talk about your hiatus hernia.
Yes, there wasn't an opportunity, but yes. So she'd married into a family in medics, but father, I mean, they were lovely, absolutely lovely, but he did the ceremony, right? So he did, and they broke off in the middle of the ceremony to play a trumpet in the family band, which was a bit sort of Von Trappish, really. I mean, they were a little bit Von Trappish.
So he plays the part of the vicar. The bride's father breaks off and plays the trumpet
for all the kind of musical numbers, and then he's nipping back to do the pick up on the ceremony and so on. And then the mother, who was very glamorous and very good looking,
did she dance? Did she do gymnastics? That would have been good if she'd come down the aisle in the leotard and done the gymnastic display. What did she do?
Well, she made all the cakes that were absolutely glorious. They were all very able as a family. And then what I'm saying really is that there was a bit of envy, if I'm honest. And then I bumped into somebody who I would have worked, you know, in showbiz for years and years and years, who I haven't seen for a while, who did extremely well. And his daughter got to know the Blairs very well, for instance. And anyway, his daughter, we got chatting and I said, oh, have you been to see, we talked about theatre, have you been to see the James Norton The Little Life, you know, the 4-hour thing that's getting all the rave reviews, that my friend Patty has just been to see and said it was
It's just closing, it's just closed.
Yeah, but it's Curzon live streamed in September. I've just bought a ticket. Anyway, the reason I mentioned it is that, so I was talking to him about it and he said, oh yes, Emily produced it, she spent the last year buying the rights. I just thought, oh for goodness sake, what is it with today? Everybody.
Oh, haven't you done well? Oh, good for you. Good for her.
It was like, and I know it's a weakness for me, of mine.
Did you? At this point, I'd have just gone, yes, well, my daughter had twins.
I think I had already done that.
Oh, but shit. He'd kept his powder dry. Listened to you drone on about the twins. Yes. Waiting for his opportunity to drop the producing bombshell into the conversation and win the day.
There it was. It had gone off.
Well, anyway, the book is unreadable. Wow, A Little Life. Have you tried to read it?
Well, I was looking at the Audible and I missed about 18 hours. Maybe even more than that. Well, you've cheered me up, actually, because all the reviews were so good and I was beginning to feel even more inferior.
Oh, no,
so
I think I shall... it will... Be... Well, no, it's not your job. It's not your job to feel inferior about that. You should have phoned Sienna and said, why haven't you produced... And she very sensibly would say, because I'm in publishing and I don't do theatre. Do you mind?
No, I'm not going to download that Audible. But I have bought the ticket to the Curzon streaming. I thought that was a jolly good idea. Because apart from anything else, with 4 hours, forget board and go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll have a bit of a nap in the middle.
A nap, that's... indeed. Even better. Yeah. A little napette.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, before we go into... Yes. Culture Corner, Judith, because I think we're heading in that direction. Is there anything else that you need to fill me in on?
The Kefir factory has gone into receivership, I'm afraid.
I thought that was going to be good for your gut. Wasn't that all about...
Well, I wasn't sure. I forgot to ask the specialist about that. But more than that, you see, part of my motivation was to save all the bleeding plastic. You know, every single time you buy a thing of Kefir, it's a great big plastic bottle that you never know what to do with. So when I put it on the notice board and everybody was saying, oh, God, haven't you got enough to do? You know, oh, life's too short.
Yeah.
I should have really said that because I felt a bit silly. But also, I'm sick of seeing this putrid, rotting milk all over the kitchen, and it's not the same as the factory stuff. So there we are. It has finished. It was a fad.
It was like you just had a little craze. It was a little summer craze.
It was. Yeah. And I'm over it now. So there we are.
Okay. Is there any update on the making, on the sewing?
No, been a bit too busy. Have you bought some material yet for the trousers that you want?
Oh, no. I didn't know that I'd had the green light for that, Judy.
Yes, you've got the green light. 2.5 metres, I think you need 3.
2.5 metres. Well, remember, I'm very tiny, so I can probably get away with about...
No, don't you dare skip.
2.5 metres. Don't you dare. I'm writing that down. 2.5 metres, and I'm after viscous, aren't I?
I think you're after viscous myself. Yes, yes. Okay. I can't promise when it's going to be done.
If they're done by next summer, that would be fine.
They'll be done by next summer. There might be your Christmas and birthday all rolled in one.
Oh, now that would be very good indeed. Thank you very much indeed. Right, you are. We are now moving to Culture Corner.
Yes, we are.
Just before we went away. I do recommend going away on a Monday morning. That's
Pourquoi?
What Jeff and I did.
Pourquoi?
Well, just because you have your whole weekend and then instead of facing Monday morning, you're going on holiday.
I know what you mean. You don't feel rushed in some ways.
I just didn't feel too rushed. It was all right. It was a Stansted jobby to Bergerac Airport. And I do like a small airport.
Oh, it's a lovely small airport, isn't it? I can picture it.
Oh,
very easy.
Yes. I mean, there's 2 planes a day or about 4 planes a day. I don't know. But when you turn up... You know, there's one going to Belgium and there's one going to London. You can't really get it wrong. It's nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we like that.
So before we went flying off to Bergerac, we spent the Sunday afternoon at the National Portrait Gallery.
Oh, good.
Yes.
The refurbished. Have you been back? It's your second trip, isn't it?
We hadn't been before it had been redone up. The permanent collection is free and it's great. Jeff also accidentally paid to see the Yvonne show, and she's a photographer from the 40s, 50s. Not strictly necessary, a nice sort of additional treat, but, you know, I'm not really sure when it's worth it, you know. Okay. If you're feeling a bit skint, don't bother. But what struck me was, going around this, was that there's a kind of dying breed of celebrity who is, you know, a mover, thinker, shaker. You know, people like Jermaine Greer, people like Salman Rushdie. And I'm just not sure who the next... now that intellectualism is so sneered at and it's all about the influencer, you know, the TikTok star.
Well, that's right.
It feels like one age of celebrity is over.
Interesting thought. Yeah. Because as you said that, I was thinking, wait a minute, what about Jamie Oliver? What about... but they're not. They are protesters.
I don't know, though. I would put Jamie Oliver in there.
Oh, you would?
Okay. Yeah, I would, actually, because I think that he has... he's kind of... In fact, I think that he's one of the very few people I would put up there, because I think he's stood the test of time. And he has really, really tried.
Yes, I mean, I think he's got a fantastic sort of moral drive.
Yeah.
But he's not an intellectual, is he? I thought that.
No, he isn't an intellectual. Yeah. But I, in some respects, I do think that's allowable, and I think that it's become a much more level playing field as to who should be allowed into the National Portrait Gallery.
But that's right. I'm sure. I mean, people like Marcus Rashford, you can think, are going to
be... Yeah, there were very few sports stars, which surprised me. Only sports star I saw is that lovely... There's a lovely video which was made by the artist Sam Taylor Wood. It's called David Sleeping, and it's David Beckham sleeping.
Yes.
And
he looks
like a god on the top of Mount Olympus and about to, he might wake up.
Because you sort of think that that's what it would be like if you were sleeping next to him.
Can you imagine?
Bloody hell.
Wow, can you imagine his face when he woke up and saw you or me?
That'd be dark. He'd have to have one of those things over his eyes, you know what I mean?
I'd really like it if he woke up and he saw... And I was there going, hello, hello, Tony me. So I really enjoyed the National Portrait Gallery. And
I'm looking forward to going.
It is a sort of constant feast. And there's also a really good pay-for exhibition there that we didn't... Jeff had bought the wrong tickets. There's a Paul McCartney photography exhibition about...
Oh, what do you mean? Pictures that he's taken himself?
Yeah, of the Beatles as they become famous. And, I wasn't horrible to Jeff about it. I just thought, bloody hell, Jeff. You're right. Anyway, next time we'll do
horrible.
That one.
You were a little bit horrible.
No, I've been affable. I've been affable recently.
Mean, this is what happens when you go on holiday with other people.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I was so relieved it was another sort of bit of a house.
Oh, yes.
We could sort of come in and snipe at each other.
Why did you say that?
Yeah, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
That is a good thing to go and see and do. Now, what about you, Judith?
Yes. Well, I tell you what we've been doing is we have been watching the thing that you recommended, Before We Die. On Channel 4, and we just finished the second series last night, actually. Absolutely brilliant.
It is good, isn't it?
Oh, yes, and very surprising twists of the plot. No, really, really to be recommended. I enjoyed that very much.
It's funny, isn't it, how that just escaped both of us the first time around.
Yes, and I didn't check, actually, how... old it is, but it's worth finding.
It's worth digging out. And did you recognise the fella from Idris's Hijack?
I did. Absolutely.
He's quite a hunk, isn't he?
Well, say that.
Oh, I do. Yeah. That's my type. I think that's my type.
We'd be fine. Honestly, if you and I are on the pool anywhere, we'd be absolutely fine. We'd just be going
I'm not sure what your type is, but that's... Listen, this is a terrible thing to... but there's a tiny bit of me that, that type... I can't remember the actor's name, but he's one of the hijackers in Hijack, and he's a good copper in Before We Die. But he does look a bit like Paul Hollywood.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, and that sort of... It is
were you in that?
Type.
You see, you're in... I would not, never in a million years would I be in that neck of the woods. No. Far too tidy and...
I don't. I don't think that tidy. No, I mean, there's a little... Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not thinking... I'm just thinking about face and physique. I quite like that big, chunky fucking thing.
Oh, OK, right, chunky, yes, yeah. Chunky. Well, obviously, wouldn't be going for skinny, would we? I mean, that would just
No, that's pointless. Yeah,
absolutely
pointless. Absolutely
pointless.
Yeah, in fact, the bigger the better. Anyway, so you've enjoyed Before We Die. OK, telly-wise, I really, really recommend Deadlock, which one of our listeners recommended to us. It's Australian and, God, the Australians are kicking it out of the park at the moment. Apart from the football, we won. go the Lionesses! And, but Deadlock is this very... It's a lesbian comedy drama. And the first couple of episodes, I think the comedy is dialed a bit too high. But by episode six, dear God in heaven, it is absolutely gripping. It's wow. something that's taking more risks than I've seen in a long time. And I really, really am enjoying it.
Where do you find that?
That you find on, oh, I think it's Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like a good...
I think it's a good follow-up to Before We Die.
Oh, do you? Very
Although
good.
It's a straight... You know, when you move from one thing to another, there's this kind of weird juxtaposition, isn't there, where you have to get used to a whole new cast of characters and it all feels a bit difficult,
Oh, I tell you what's on Netflix, which I think has just come on Netflix, is Matilda, the musical. The film, you know, the film musical, which is such a treat. Oh, it's so good.
This is the one with Emma Thompson, isn't it?
Yes, with Emma Thompson and Stephen Graham. Emma Thompson plays Miss Trunchbull. Or is it Mrs. Trunchbull?
Trunchbull, just call her Trunchbull.
She's good. It's great.
She is good, isn't she? Emma Thompson just is good.
I mean, you know, you barely recognise her. She looks so different.
Can she sing as well?
I think she can do everything.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. I know.
That's very good. Have you seen
Barbie
yet?
Well, what if she'd pitched up at the wedding as well?
God, that'd have finished me off. I'd have flounced off.
Was the food good? Was the savoury good?
Food was good, except... Food was very good, except it was sharing platters, Jenny.
Oh, I don't know. You know how, those how things, do you divide it up?
Well, exactly. So there were kind of these tables, beautiful, long bench tables.
Yeah.
With a kind of raised thing, you know, where they place down at the top. But it meant you kind of, you know, it was a bit awkward to dig in and, you know, I'm quite greedy. So, you know, it's kind of, I like to know how much is allocated to me. I like it on the plate. Yeah. And you know what I mean? I don't think I'm up for sharing, actually.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't like sharing a takeaway particularly. You know,
everyone
says, just dig in. No, I've ordered what I want. Thank you very much. I'm taking this little carton over here with my own spoon and, you know, everyone else can fuck off, actually. Right. So that's what you are watching. Books now. What are you on, Judith?
I'm reading Bob Mortimer's The Satsuma Complex, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
This is his novel, isn't it?
It's his novel. I mean, I do feel that I am in the presence of Bob Mortimer, which is fine. Okay. But there's, you know, the sort of narrator central character, it is sort of Bob, I think, really.
Yeah.
And there's lots of lovely sort of flights of fancy, really, where he has a kind of conversations with a squirrel. And I'm saying it out loud, and I think it's you just think, well, how ridiculous. But actually, it's fun. I would say that the narration's a bit patchy. With the female character. But on the whole, I'm really enjoying it and I'm enjoying being in his company.
Yeah. Okay. So that's The Satsuma Complex by Bob Mortimer. Yes. I am really enjoying Lisa Jewell's very intriguing None of This Is True. And I think I can hand on heart recommend it for gang fodder. I think it's good summer gang fodder. I have moved away from Anthony Powell's Dance the Music in Time. It's good. It's very good. It's very well written, etc. But it bangs on a bit. And I just sort of got sick of there just being men, more men. And even though the occasional woman is brilliantly written. But we're now on... I wanted more story. I want more beginning, middle and end story. So we're now on to Ordinary Human Failings by Meg Nolan, who is an Irish wunderkind. Think still in her 20s. It's very bleak, but it's very well written. Only some of you will like it. It won't be everybody's cup of tea because the subject matter is quite tricky.
I think I'll head for Lisa Jewell.
Okay, yeah. I think that would be a majority choice, to be honest with you. So that is our cultural roundup for this week, listeners. Thank you very much for all your emails. There were a big reaction to your Guardian article.
Lovely emails. Thank you very much indeed. Yes. Really, really lovely. Thank you.
Okay, right. Well, we better get on, haven't we?
And what plans do you have for the rest of today?
Oh, I'm going to have my nails done, and I'm going to have my, yeah, it's a bit like a car going in for a service, isn't it? Having my whiskers done, threaded.
Oh, you're having a bit of an overhaul.
Bit of an overhaul, yes, bit of an overhaul.
Well, what's that in aid of?
Well, nothing really, but I have to keep on top of it, you know. Oh. I have to keep on top of it. What are you doing?
Well, I certainly won't be having a manicure. Do you know, I've never had a manicure.
Have you not?
No. No. Not with somebody else painting my nails. No.
Have you not?
No. No need. Do it myself. Anyway, there we go. Very self-sufficient. Very self-sufficient. I'm very DIY, basically, which is why, you know, I am like some clapped out old banger that doesn't really work properly because I do everything myself. Anyway, we've had a lovely little catch up. We will look forward to speaking with you again next week. We're very glad that I had a lovely holiday. We're very glad Daisy had a lovely holiday. If you're about to go on holiday, we hope you have a lovely holiday, but we hope you take us with you. What do you think about that, Judith? What do you think about that as a sign off?
Very good. Very good.
All right, then. Speak soon. Lots and lots of love, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.